Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Billy Dees, and as I often say, I am absolutely thrilled that you are here. If you have never checked out the program before, we are primarily an interview and a commentary podcast. Today, on the studio line with me, I have Ruth L. Snyder. Ruth, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Billy. It's a joy to be here.
Awesome. So here it is. So glad to hear you say that. So glad that you are here to let the audience know what we are going to talk about today. If you are a creator of any kind, if you spend any amount of time on social media, I could go on and on. The relevancy of this is actually wide open. You don't necessarily have to be an author. We're going to talk about some pretty broad terms and broad topics in terms of how you may market yourself online, how you present yourself, good content, and all of these other things. However, we are primarily going to stay in the arena today of Twitter. And let's start there. Ruth L. Snyder, that's where you're at on Twitter, at Ruth L. Snyder. You have in your bio that you are a Twitter geek. What makes you a Twitter geek? Were you an early adopter? What's your history with the platform?
Well, I did start in 2009, which wasn't right at the beginning, but fairly soon after Twitter started. And my first introduction to Twitter was when I became serious about writing, but I had a very busy life. I was the mother of five children, ages 1 to 11, and I was also working on the local school board. So I didn't have a lot of time. And one of my writer friends said, well, maybe you should use Twitter as your mini blog. So that's what I did when I first got on Twitter. I made sure that I posted at least one tweet every day. And Twitter taught me a lot about writing. It taught me how to be consistent. It taught me how to communicate succinctly and clearly. And it also taught me how to connect with other people on Twitter.
Yes. I believe, when you and I first started, because I started about the same time, I might be 2010. I believe it says so on my bio. And by the way, you can find me on Twitter at Billy Dees. I believe it was 140 character limit, I believe, when it first started. And of course, now it's, 280 or something like that. And one of the things I like about the short form, what they call a microblog, is that you do have to be very specific. And it taught me to be a better writer because I would make a tweet, I would make a point, and I'd go back and read it and it wouldn't fit. I'd say, okay, now what words really aren't necessary here? Mm-hmm. And you have to go back through and pick out the stuff that isn't necessary. Now, you're also an entrepreneur, you're also a speaker, and you're a book coach. You work with authors, you do nature photography, which I did not know that about you until I was prepping for this podcast. We know that's kind of cool. What got you interested in all of these things? And do you have a favorite? Is there one that's more of a hobby than a profession? Or what's the story with all the interests that you have? It seems like you have a lot.
I do have a lot of interests, and that's sometimes I feel like it's a blessing and sometimes I feel like it's a curse.
Yeah.
Because you really do need to focus on a few things and do them well. I am what they call a multi-passionate person. And so what I've had to do is I've had to focus on one or two things at a time. And then when I get that working well, then I can broaden my interests. Photography, I would say, is probably more of a hobby than anything else. I grew up with a dad who was really good at photography. And we lived in Southern Africa and went into the game parks. Wow. And I remember many hours sitting there watching him take photos and then going home. And he had his dark room in our bathroom. And those were the days when chemicals were used and you got to see the pictures come to life. And yeah. So that's a bit of my history. And yeah, I picked up my love of photography from that. So it's mostly animals and scenery that I enjoy taking pictures of.
That's awesome. Now you're in Canada now, is that correct?
Yes, I live in northern Alberta and I enjoy many things about Canada. I live where there's a lot of wildlife. So I have deer walking through my yard on a regular basis. Oh, wow. And wake up every morning to birds singing in the yard. But I don't enjoy the long winters here.
Oh, no. And I'm in Ohio, and our winters are not as bad as where you are. And actually, I'm in northeastern Ohio, and I'm way below where Lake Erie is. Now, the people up in Cleveland have this thing called lake effect, where the cold winds blow across Canada that come across Lake Erie, and they just dump on Cleveland. And I'm so glad I missed that.
Yes.
You've done a number of different things in terms of helping people guide themselves with content. Your first books were about learning Twitter, and I believe that was the name of it. Learning Twitter, is that correct?
Learn Twitter, yes.
Learn Twitter, okay, excuse me. And this was specifically geared towards authors and how they should do it. What are some things about Twitter that lends itself to the writing community? I believe it's very strong for the writing community. What are some of the things that make it so strong for the writing community?
Well, I think, I don't know, there's a different vibe on Twitter than I find on most other social media sites. There's seems to be more of an acceptance of people, no matter what level they're at. So okay. People that haven't written anything can go on Twitter and find connections with people. There are publishers and there are agents on Twitter who are looking to make connections with writers. And if you weren't on Twitter, it would take a lot longer to build those connections. But with Twitter, you can just jump on, you can use the hashtags that draw attention to those people, and you have that connection. And I find there's a really strong community of writers at every level and from every genre, and they are willing to help you. And yeah, I think that's one of the best things about Twitter.
One of the hashtags that I've noticed is one called hashtag writing community.
Yes.
And I've noticed when I have authors on the podcast, I will often use that to promote the podcast. And one of the things that I will do is I will also go to the writing community hashtag and give back. It's one thing, and that's one of the things I always preach. Mm-hmm. If you're going to use a hashtag group to promote your content, you should always give back a little bit as well. And I noticed that the writing community is a very supportive place for people who, let's say, have writer's block, or they're trying to describe a scene where there's multiple people having dialogue, all of these difficult things that are hard to do as a writer. Mm-hmm. They offer advice. And you're absolutely right. That's fantastic. For an author, and I got to say, I have a lot of authors on the podcast. And a lot of them use Twitter to varying degrees. Some of them, maybe not so great. And what I say that I don't mean that as a criticism, but they are missing out on so many things in terms of what they could do to promote themselves as an author and as a brand. You know, I've said this before, Ernest Hemingway at this point is a brand as much as he is an author.
Yes.
And people want to know anything about Ernest Hemingway, not because of the person, but because of what the brand, what the mystique has become. So with that being said, what would be, if you're a new author, and even if you're an author and you haven't been doing anything on Twitter, what would be some of the first steps that you should do to promote yourself and promote your work on Twitter?
Well, I would say that you need to be consistent. So you might not get on Twitter every day, but I think when you're starting out, it's not a bad idea. Even if you spend 5 or 10 minutes on, and not just, like you said, not just tweeting out information yourself, but also interacting with other people on Twitter. You want to build those relationships. And then I would say, choose at least one hashtag that you can follow that is helpful. But also find, if you're writing a book, see if you can create a hashtag that's not being used yet that is specific to your work. And that way it makes it easy for people to find you. Work on those long-term relationships. Twitter is not a get-rich-quick place. It's about long-term relationships and building community with other people. And be generous. Don't just be there to share your content. Find out what other people are doing. answer other people's questions, cheer them on, retweet them, be there for other people. And then go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt you.
Okay. And then make sure that you share content for readers, focused on readers, not focused on yourself. That I think that's one mistake that a lot of people make. We tend to focus on us and what we like, who we are, what we do. But if we share content that is valuable for our readers and our clients, then they want to know more about us. They want to know how they can find more information, and then they will start interacting more with us.
Those are all great points. What is it? And for those of you who may not be aware, when you're on Twitter and you create a blurb or possibly a link to some media, let's say it's on YouTube or whatever, and you tweet that, that's called a tweet. When somebody else runs across it, they have the opportunity to share that in the form of a retweet. And you can retweet it in one of two ways. You can just simply retweet it, which then sends that tweet on your timeline, or you can retweet it with the option of adding a comment to it. Mm-hmm. Some sort of a, hey, check this out, or blah, blah, blah. I hear again, I've mentioned before, if you're participating in a hashtag group, don't exploit the hashtag by only using it. Be sure you participate and as well as share others' content. And the reason I'm prefacing this is because I don't know what it is. I have talked to many, many people, and Ruth and I have been in a number of different Twitter spaces together, which is an audio platform, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But I've mentioned before, I don't know what the hang up is with people retweeting. They won't even, not only will they not retweet other people, they won't even retweet stuff that pertains to them, my podcast, which interviews them. They won't retweet it. You would think that their followers would be interested in hearing them or whatever. What is the resistance? Is there some sort of a paranoia, like maybe you're giving up a piece of your soul?
I don't know. Or maybe it's all about, maybe it's a fear that, I think some authors are afraid of people stealing their content. I know I've talked to people that are afraid like that. And there's other people who just are afraid of the competition. But yeah. I think we all have to be secure in who we are and realize that each person has different things and different experiences, different qualifications. And those are the things that we should be focusing on and not worrying about competition.
Yes, I totally agree with that. As a podcaster, I often retweet other podcasts. I want the medium to flourish. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that for everybody is to lift each other up, keep new shows for your audience on the radar. And it's just a good thing to do all around. I'm totally with you on that. And I would say too, I have a number of authors that work for the same publisher, or they have the same group of friends. And let's say there's 5, 10, or 15 of them, all of which have thousands of followers. If they would just retweet each other, can you imagine the coverage that they would get? But they won't do it. I don't know. Maybe they think that there's going to be something wrong if somebody comes to their timeline and they see something that's not from that account. I don't know. I'm speculating there, but
I don't understand it either.
Okay. What are some of the big mistakes that any Twitter user can make, but in particular, people who are an author? What are some of the things you should not be doing on Twitter?
So you should not be on Twitter when you're angry and upset.
Yeah.
You should take a deep breath and go for a walk or something. Never tweet when you're angry. Don't just focus on yourself. Focus on other people. Focus on serving. Focus on your readers, on your clients. And like I said, that will come back to you eventually. Yeah. When you're generous, other people will be generous with you.
Yes.
So I think those two things are the biggest mistakes I see.
One of the things that drives me crazy is when I usually will accept when people follow me and I see they're an author, I usually follow them back because a lot of times they want to contact me about being on the podcast or something else. Mm-hmm. And what irritates me is right away, as soon as I, you know, follow them back, I get a direct message with some kind of a thing plugging their book. Okay. I happen to believe that no matter what you're doing on Twitter, that direct messages should only be used for very practical, personalized messages. Mm-hmm. When I talked to Ruth about being on the podcast, for example, if you are just arbitrarily direct messaging your latest blog post or your latest this or that, that's what tweets are for.
Right.
And all it does is people like me, I'm tempted to at this point unfollow them. So would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes. So that's the opposite of being generous. That's the opposite of focusing on other people. Marketing is about building relationships. And none of us like to meet somebody. I mean, I don't know of too many people that have come up to me and the first time I've met them, put a book in my face and said, I wrote this, buy it.
Yeah.
But that's in effect what you're doing if you are direct messaging that to people that you are just connecting with. It's also comes across that way if that's all that you're putting into your tweets. Your tweets need to be a variety, and it's okay to put maybe 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 10 messages that might be marketing something, but all of the rest of your content should be retweeting other people's content, interacting with them, sharing valuable information so that the focus is on other people and serving them and not on getting those sales that you want.
Just a little retweeting tip that I use when I'm in these hashtag groups that retweet each other. I know this is kind of some, if you're not familiar with Twitter, this is like some cumbersome terminology here. But what I will often do is I will, my latest podcast episode, I have some detailed information about it. I might have a promo clip. I have some links as to where you can find it, and I will pin that to the top of my Twitter page.
Right.
So that people who are engaging and retweeting with me can find the episode very easily. That's a little thing that I do. I don't know if you have any tips or if you agree with that strategy or what your opinion is about that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one way that you can share content. I do use the pinned tweets quite often, especially when I'm in spaces, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But another thing you can do is make sure that you use the bio space effectively. You can put links in there. And there's actually two places you can put links. You can put it in the general bio space, and you can also, they have a specific website link space for you to use. So those are several ways that you can share the content you want people to use.
Okay. You mentioned Twitter Spaces. So relevant. And here again, I happen to believe that Twitter Spaces is really good to promote podcasts. I know my audience has grown because of my presence on Twitter Spaces. And I actually met Ruth in Twitter Spaces. We both are on Keith Keller's Spaces every so often. And that's how I became acquainted with Ruth. And what Twitter Spaces are, just in a nutshell, is if you're familiar with Clubhouse or any of those, it is simply an audio-only platform. You do not appear on video. And a space is a group of people who are listening to the content that is being provided by the host. The host can bring up a number of speakers. I believe it's 12. And there, as far as I know, the capacity of a given space is very, very large. Some celebrities have thousands and thousands of people in them. So it's basically a way to, here again, share content. And getting back to what Ruth said, if you didn't catch it, it's not about advertising. You don't want your space, you don't want your tweets to sound like advertisements. Your content should have value. Okay. If all of your content says, my book is number one on Amazon, my book is the greatest book ever, my book covers this, that, and the other thing, that's not going to bring people in. And as I mentioned about Ernest Hemingway, he is a brand. You want to make sure that you yourself are a brand. Mm-hmm. You yourself are somebody that people want to find out more about. And that will build a bridge to your book or whatever it is that you are doing that people will cross very willingly, as opposed to trying to find some way to hook them in. So Twitter Spaces is an audio space where you can have a bunch of people listening. So at this point, I know that you are a big advocate for Twitter Spaces. I'll let you kind of take it from there and talk about it in more detail.
Yes, I'm definitely a big advocate of Twitter Spaces. I remember the first time I went into a space, Keith Keller was the one that invited me, and I was amazed at a couple things. One was the global aspect of the Twitter space, that there's people on from every continent around the world, and it's like talking to them in the next room, you know, like the audio is clear for the most part. You can hear them well, and you can ask them questions. You can find out about different cultures and customs and languages. And then the other thing that really amazed me about Twitter Spaces, again, was the friendliness of the people involved. And if you want to learn anything, you can ask, and you can ask live. And that's, I mean, as an author, I think, wow, what a great resource. If you're working on a book title, you could go into a space and say, hey, I'm writing this book and this is what it's about. What do you think? Do you have ideas about what I could use as a book title? And you can get immediate feedback.
Sure.
I don't know of any other social media that you could do that on.
Correct. The one thing nice, just to follow up, you know, for my audience here, is that Twitter is very much, when you hear the term trending, different things are trending. Twitter is probably the best place for anything that is very fluid, very happening now. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, because of the fact that, let's say, anything with authors, music, creativity, digital media, if you're an advocate, if you're a follower of the news, everything is so real time on there, probably more so than any other, you know, with TikTok, for example, it can be, but people have to make the videos and shoot them. And with Twitter, it's happening instantly. You know, I come from the days of early in my career, and I won't go giving any years away because I don't want to go. late 80s, early 1990s, when there was a big, let's say, presidential debate. The next morning on all the morning drive shows on the radio, people were calling in and saying, you know, this or that about what happened during the debates. Now it's not scientific, depending on who you're following or what have you, but you can sit there while the debate is happening with your phone in your hand and follow the hashtags related to that debate and actually get real-time responses. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just absolutely amazing. And there's so many angles that you can cover as an author. For example, you know, Ruth mentioned one, but I mean, you can talk about writing styles. You can talk about writing techniques. If you're a humor writer, how to write humor, how to, the rule of three, all of these things, just, you know, there's so many things that you can talk about. So many people would want to get in on that, not only to hear what you're saying, but to offer up their own suggestions. How does somebody use Twitter Spaces? And here again, without getting into the more advanced users with a lot of equipment or whatever, if you're just a novice, and you want to say, what were they talking about? Twitter Spaces, what is that? What's the best way to just check it out while using your phone?
So to access Twitter Spaces, all you need is a cell phone and the Twitter app. And then once you're on the app, there's a little microphone icon, and you can just tap on that to start your own space. Or you can look at, usually at the top, they'll show you spaces that are happening. Or if you tap on the microphone, often spaces that are happening will, come up with the title and the topics. So that's the easiest way to access spaces.
And here again, this is something that's very familiar, that's very similar to Clubhouse. You may or may not be familiar with that. And there's proponents of all of them. There's some people that swear by one versus the other. There's a number of different audio platforms out there that do this or something similar to it. Speaking about Twitter today, if you're an author, and here again, you're utilizing Twitter. There's a lot that you can do with Twitter to start with. And while you're there, while you're cultivating that brand on Twitter, it just seems like a natural fit. That's why we're sticking with the topic of Twitter Spaces today. What do you feel as a whole? I've heard different things about the future of social audio. Right now, it's quote unquote the thing. There's a certain novelty aspect of it. It's only, I mean, obviously the use of it exploded with the COVID restrictions.
Right.
But regardless, right now it is quote unquote the hot thing. It's a novelty for many people. And this happened with blogging. There was a huge burst and then it leveled off to the, you know, to people that were really good at it and to the people that established an audience. And I think podcasts by and large are crescendoing now too. They're starting to level off a little bit and the really serious people that were always there mm-hmm. are still there. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with audio? Do you think that we're still climbing that crescendo, or is there things about to level off? Or at worst, do you believe, you know, some of the audio platforms out there have started audio platforms and then they've scrapped them? Mm-hmm. So it's probably too hard to predict right now. I know you're hopeful that there's a big future in social audio. What's your gut instinct tells you about Twitter Spaces?
Yes, I am definitely hopeful that it will continue to exist and grow. Maybe it will morph somehow, but I'm hopeful that it will be there for the long run. I think that we need to focus on better quality, both in content and in sound, so that people are encouraged to listen to it and able to repurpose it. And then I think that social audio will probably be used for evergreen content as well, so that people may not listen live, but they will listen to recordings or the podcast version or whatever that is available. And I see a lot of discussion about Web3. I don't know a lot about it, but I'm thinking that social audio will be something that will be used with Web3. People are starting to use it already. So,
sure. It's interesting what's going to happen with that. I'm very undecided about the viability of how quickly that's going to come in and be relevant. Mm-hmm. But you never know. And as someone who is in this business and someone who has been in this business a long time, I can tell you right now, you can never ignore the latest shiny object. Right. And right now, Web3 is a shiny object. I would have to say that social audio is a shining object as well, but it's getting brighter. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely at least experiment with it. I can tell you, you know, interestingly, I think there's a good parallel. You mentioned about how Twitter made you a better writer, and it, mm-hmm. it certainly did. I'm not a writer per se, but I do write things as part of my work, and it did make me, you know, better at that. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say, as a podcaster, I would have to say these Twitter Spaces and all that have made me a better podcaster, because just in terms of knowing how to have an impact with an audience, mm-hmm. and especially with me, because I'm like really old school, you know, I'm back in the radio days. So having that internet flair, getting in pace with that has been really good for me as a podcaster. Now, you're obviously many things. You're an entrepreneur. You're other things. I've mentioned your Twitter screen name is @RuthLSnyder. Where are some of the other places people can find you online?
Well, I'm on Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram, but the best place to find me is my website, RuthLSnyder.com, and all the links to the other places are there. So,
okay, well, be sure to check out Ruth. And like I said, even if you are approaching social media as just casual interest, a lot of the things that can make you better at navigating those waters, you can learn from following people like Ruth. If you follow her, she has a good wheelhouse, Keith Keller, a number of other people. Now you have we should probably mention this too, because this is very important. Not only can people follow you on Twitter, but you do your own space as well. You want to talk about when that is and how people can find it?
Yes, definitely. Come join me on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And I always pin the tweet with the link so that it's easy to find. And I am actually doing a little bit of a change to my theme. So I've been doing building global communities, but I'm pivoting to choices from struggle to strength. One of the reasons I do that is because I believe stories are so powerful and that we often don't get the opportunity to talk about our stories. So if you have a story, if you're an author or an entrepreneur and you want to share your story, please DM me. You're welcome to do that. And I'd love to talk to you.
Sure. Here again on Twitter @RuthLSnyder. I so much agree that stories are impactful. And when people hear stories and they hear the word author, they think, well, the fictional story that's in the book. A lot of the authors that have been on my podcast have had their own personal journeys. They've had their own personal journeys. They've had something impactful happen to them, a trauma or what have you. That is what inspired their story. And that is such a great way to talk about your book. And here again, people love that stuff. They love to hear what inspired you, no matter what it was, whether it was a trip to the beach or whatever. You know, I just got this idea for the story, and people just love that stuff. So absolutely, that's Ruth's wheelhouse, so to speak. Do check her out. Ruth, very much thank you for being on the podcast today. Thank you for making time for us and coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. My name is Billy Dees. And here again, you can follow me on Twitter and you can tweet me. You just have to be nice now. It's okay to disagree, right? But just be nice. And be sure to check out our podcast again very soon. We are basically weekly here. So subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher. You can find the Billy Dees podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and with our friends over at Good Pods. Any platform you find us on, we're on just about all of them. I very much appreciate your listens. Thank you very much, and we will talk to you again next week.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Billy Dees from the self-titled Billy Dees Podcast. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and many more of the best podcast networks. Join me for my commentary and interviews. Follow me on Twitter, real easy to find, at Billy Dees. I am Billy Dees. I'd love to have you listen in.